I'm going to be talking about the American dream, and especially the California myth of the American dream. The American dream means a lot of things to a number of different people. It's been in existence pretty much as long as there has been European colonies in America. It's taken on different meanings. It has, but it's all been called the American dream, whether that was propaganda trying to get people over to the Virginia colonies, or the idea of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness that imbues the Declaration of Independence, or even in the poem at the base of the Statue of Liberty, asking the world to give America your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free. The American dream is complex. It is both a call for exploration of the unknown and an idea that everyone in the country has the equality and the freedom to do what they want. And the California myth is kind of the epitome of the American dream and perpetuates it. So for the purposes of this paper, I'm kind of categorizing the California myth is the persistent belief that California is the quintessential land of milk and honey, not like Rwanda, as has been previously stated, the promised land or the sunny refuge of the lost. Much like the American dream, this image began pretty much as soon as people started settling there, kind of made famous in the mid-19th century with the minor 49ers in San Francisco. It had a good climate, part of the Sun Belt, good agricultural area. You can kind of see the appeal of the state, the same farming paradise and sunny refuge that is best exemplified in John Steinbeck novels, such as The Grapes of Wrath. This was kind of the California myth of the mid-19th century, early 20th century. And that shifted away from farms to more of a beach paradise, kind of post-war. And there was a huge post-war population boom. Massive amounts of immigrants moved during the war period, particularly around Los Angeles to work in manufacturing. And then in Hollywood in the 40s and 50s, started producing the B-grade beach films, kind of most popular in Gidget, both the film and the television show, if anyone has seen any of that, or the Beach Party film starring Frankie Avalon and Annette Funicello. So with this in the popular imagination, the music of the 60s categorically made the myth explicit to the rest of the country and to the world. And it was kind of the West Coast bands based in Los Angeles in the mid-60s who finally popularized the California myth to the rest of the world. With the rise of the Beach Boys and Jan and Dean, the California sound gained prominence. Indeed, as music critic Nick Cohen claimed, the Beach Boys, and specifically Brian Wilson, who worked with both the Beach Boys and wrote songs for Jan and Dean, with their surf and hot rod sound, was the, quote, first time that California was given its own pop identity. This included cars, girls, beaches, freedom, and fun. You can kind of see, this is the Santa Monica Pier, or that's the Santa Monica Pier up there. There's a yearly kind of surf race. Looks fun to go to. This is probably actually taken in the winter because that's California weather for you. Jan and Dean evoked the quintessential California with images, image in the lyrics of Surf City, which mentioned shooting the curl, which is that down there. Awesome way to surf, apparently. I'm not actually a surfer. They also talked about everyone was surfing or they were getting a party growing and there were two girls for every guy, which kind of sounds fun to me if you're not married. Similar, the Beach Boys actively listed surfing spots in their music from Del Mar to Doheny Way to the Ventura Line, or in this song. If everyone in the USA had a beach, they'd all be surfing like California does. That's the California idyll, is you go surfing. Yet they were also made up songs about hot rod cars and cruising around Southern California. I mean, this picture exemplifies that. They've got their Woody with their surfboards and they're at the beach driving around. They could pick up girls or go out drag racings. Song like 409, Dead Man's Curve, and even Little Deuce Coupe showed another side to the California sound. And as Rolling Stone critic Anthony DeCurtis noted, With these images of surfing and cars, landlocked listeners took the concept of freedom as American a virtue as exists. Thus, California became a bastion of freedom, a haven for dreamers and a dream for many. And one of the groups that demonstrated this vision were the Mamas and Papas. Their first hit was California Dreamin', which I'm going to play a little bit of here. Or maybe not. I thought I was going to play California Dreamin'. Okay. It was written during a cold New York winter where they longed to be safe and warm in California. They talked about if they were in California, great place to be. Throughout their tumultuous career, the group actually considered California a sanctuary and almost a dreamland. In their song Creaky Alley, they gave a brief history of the band, where they had started in New York as folk singers. They traveled to the Virgin Islands as on a holiday, but they always wanted to go to LA, where, as part of the song, McGuinn and McGuire were just a getting higher, which is both literally getting higher because of the drug scene out there, but also they were super popular musicians. While in the song 1230, subtitled Young Girls Are Going to the Canyon, they sing of escaping the dirtiness of New York for the friendliness of Laurel Canyon. The Mamas and Papas used music to reinforce the myth that California was a dreamland. So the McGuinn, of whom the, that's the McGuinn there in famous granny glasses, as a member of the Byrds. He was Roger McGuinn of the Byrds. We're one of the first groups to combine the folk traditions of early American music and Bob Dylan with the new rock styles of the Beatles, creating folk rock in the process. The jingle jangle of their 12-string guitars is very traditional, or sound identified them as the Byrds, and they identified themselves with Los Angeles. Listeners hearing versions of Mr. Tambourine Man, which was their first hit, would instantly imagine a dreamlike California where, quote, senses have been stripped, toes were too numb to step, and boot heels were wandering. The group further pointed to this California dreamscape with their hit So You Want to Be a Rock and Roll Star, and hopefully this one works. There we go. They noticed that all you have to do is pick up an electric guitar, learn how to play, and soon you'll have girls that are tearing you apart. So Los Angeles was where musicians were going to become rock and roll stars, and maybe you have two girls for every guy. So perhaps the epitome of this California dream locale was Joni Mitchell's 1970 song titled, appropriately, California. Though she was Canadian, she used California as both a symbolic and literal place in which she would be coming home. The California of Mitchell's songs is sunny and warm, in contrast to the old and cold of Paris, full of familiar people, as opposed to strangers in Spain, and safe from war, unlike the rest of the world, which in the late 60s, early 70s, war was rife everywhere. This mythologized California stemmed from Mitchell's own recollections. She had actually lived in Laurel Canyon. This is a book that kind of mentions all of the famous Laurel Canyon people, Joni Mitchell, and that is her up there playing guitar. It was one of them. The Byrds lived there. Buffalo Springfield, all sorts of famous American musicians were drawn to Laurel Canyon in California. It was also partly influenced by the idealism of the era, that they could create a emblematic California and kind of the epitome of California, the America. So whilst Mitchell and the Beach Boys and the Mamas and Papas were all dreaming of a beautiful, sun-drenched, pastoral idyll, two bands in particular challenged this myth. The Doors, even though they were from LA, were part of the heavier noir aspect of California. Mike Davis, in his fantastic book, City of Quartz, has pointed out that for every positive image of the sun-soaked agricultural paradise, there was also a bleaker, more gritty reality in the works of people like Raymond Chandler and F. Scott Fitzgerald. The Doors evoked this myth as part of their music. A song like The End, off their first album in 1967, had lyrics, this is the end, my only friend, the end of our elaborate plans, the end of everything that stands. And later says, mother, I want to, and it just kind of goes instrumentally there, implication being that he has the Oedipal complex, because he kills his father earlier. And he also mentions that all children are insane. So with overtones of death and crumbling plans, not to mention murder and incest, the song didn't fit into the bucolic California that the Beach Boys imagined. However, it did fit in very nicely with the Chandler noir novels. Other Doors songs that fit into this motif were When the Music's Over, About Death, The Unknown Soldier, also About Death, and Peace Frog, which hopefully this one works as well. Yeah. So he mentions blood four times just in that, and it just keeps getting repeated. There's blood on the streets in a river of sadness. There's blood up to his ankles, up to his knees, all around the country. And then he mentions in Fantastic L.A. And blood kept rising all across the country. Even the song L.A. Woman, which here. If you couldn't hear that, because he kind of mumbles a little bit, the line is, Motel Money, Murder Madness, change the mood from glad to sadness. So California may, in fact, be very happy for the Beach Boys, but he wants to change that from this happy idea to this sad, dark, gritty reality. So the Door is definitely not helping to create the positive image of California or America, but they did represent a flip side to the safe haven of the other musicians. Finally, the Monkees showed the facade and plasticity of the idealized myth created it from Beach Boys and the Birds. The band itself was comprised of four actors who did not play any of their own instruments on their first two albums and were created specifically to be a fake band in a television show. Indeed, the Monkees were actually the target of the jab of the Birds' So You Want to Be a Rock and Roll Star. They said they wrote it in response to the fakeness of the Monkees, since they didn't actually play their own electric guitars. While most of the songs on the first two albums were fun and jaunty, light pieces about love, it was in their third and later albums, the band actually started tackling more robust topics. Their song Zilch, repeated phrases from contemporary culture, making references to political speeches and overhead PA announcements, but they just kept repeating it ad nauseum and literally meant nothing. And their Randy Scouse Git, which was renamed Alternate Title for a more sensible English audience, demanded to know why the members didn't cut their hair, didn't live up in the exclusive sections of the city, or follow the latest trends. Yet it also condemned the celebrity status, lamenting that the singer had been waiting for an hour and still couldn't find a place to hide. Ellie could be like that for a rock and roll star. The scathing indictment of the American Dream, however, came in their Pleasant Valley Sunday, which is... The first line was, local rock group down the street is trying hard to learn their song. Very much Monkees themselves. They didn't play their song, so they were trying really hard to learn it. The chorus notices that there are rows of houses that are all the same and no one seems to care. Suburban California, everything looks exactly the same. Every street corner looks exactly the same. And then a later part of the chorus was, here in status symbol land, mothers complain about how hard life is, and the kids just don't seem to understand. It's such a hard life keeping up the pretense of living in the American dream, but the dream itself is actually a fake. So in conclusion, much of the music of the 60s presented an idealized America, and specifically California. Bands like the Beach Boys and Jan and Dean sang about having fun in the sun, and both Joni Mitchell and Mamas and Papas dream of nothing more than going back to the California homes. The pop songs maintain the myth and propagate it in musical spectrum, that it's peace, sun, and refuge. This California is the epitome of the American dream and freedom and individuality. Still, both the Doors and the Monkees present a different aspect to the California myth, with theirs being more influenced by death, murder, drinking, and the falseness of society. To them, California, and by extension America, is a sad place where everything looks the same, is obsessed with status symbols, but that in the end means zilch. Their California is a facade because they look at the reality behind the myth, which cannot withhold the scrutiny of close inspection. Yet for all of that, the myth remains, and people still dream of California girls and fun in the sun, and still can actually be seen in the ranch houses, designs, and suburbanization of the rest of America. Thank you.